Is it really interesting to see how these companies are approaching Chicago, right?
She was telling me she's getting acquainted with the companies, really trying to understand how the tech ecosystem here works.
And this was kind of the big social media story in the news. So if an account looks particular.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline studio on this Monday afternoon, 12:13. Welcome to the work week. In the studio with me is Jim Dahlke from Chicago Inno. The folks from Chicago Inno are here on most Mondays, and we'll talk to him about some of the tech stories around. Randy Schaefer from the Chicago Tribune will be here in the second half hour to talk about what's new and some efforts, I guess, from Facebook to try to help you figure out where some popular pages are coming from, Russia or maybe not. So that's coming up in the second half hour. But first, a refreshed Jim Dahlke, just back from vacation. Welcome back, Jim.
Hey, Steve.
You have a good trip?
Great trip. Yeah. I spent a week at the Jersey Shore, which is better than it sounds. Better than the TV show portrayed it. Yeah, well, I had a great time.
Because you're a North Carolina guy, so you know from the shore, right?
Right. I know I'm very used to the low country down south, right. So I haven't spent a ton of time up in Jersey, but great beaches. Had a great time.
Food can't be as good there as it is.
Certainly not. No.
No, not even close. All right, let's talk about Amazon. There was a piece in Chicago Inno about Amazon, and it almost was like a bookmark or a page holder, the idea that something's coming, we just don't know when.
Yeah, if you get the feeling that Amazon is sort of dragging its feet, it's because they sort of are, right? This thing has been going on for quite a while now, and we thought it would be a good opportunity to kind of provide a little bit of a timeline for how things have been and sort of how this process has been going on. So really the timeline started back in January, right, when they announced this whole search and they said they were going to find a business in the year in 2017. And so it's really kind of dragged, and the last kind of notice was back in May when Amazon wrapped up all of its city visits. So it had seen Chicago, it had seen the other 19 finalists, and since then we've all kind of been waiting for them to sort of narrow down.
It seems as if, to me anyway, that the whole idea has lost a little. I'm trying to draw a comparison to when you pick out your Christmas presents and then you open them. And it's lost a little of its enthusiasm.
It has lost a little bit of its enthusiasm for sure. And I think part of that, at least in some other markets that are not DC, is that they realize that, wow, the DC area really just seems like the favorite. So why don't they just go ahead and pick it already, right? Because they did have three areas kind of in that DC region in the top 20. So I think it's been this sort of feeling that, all right, just make this decision. If you're going to do it, go ahead and pull the trigger.
Okay, so DC looks good because Bezos owns the Washington Post, but also there's a lot of cloud networking out there. Is that correct?
Yeah, so
is that
DC
what I remember?
Is becoming a very, very fast-growing tech hub. We have a DC Inno site is one of in our network, and they are just growing like crazy. So DC, a big tech hub. Like you said, Bezos owns the Washington Post. He's got a big, big multi-million dollar home that he's renovating around there, too. So it certainly makes sense that DC would be a logical option.
The New York Times was reporting that they might winnow the list down again. Is there anything to that?
Yeah, certainly, right? You could see them coming out with another list, but boy, if you're already kind of tired of this process, another short list would just sort of generate a lot of eye rolls, right? Just kind of like, go ahead and fix this. Go ahead and pick this this market. But kind of the point that I keep falling back on is that, Chicago, Atlanta, all these other markets that are kind of lower, smaller tier tech cities really shouldn't be putting all their eggs in the Amazon basket, right? I mean, sure, it would be great for the tech community and the business entrepreneurial community if Amazon was here. But really what Chicago should do is to work to build the next Amazon-like business here. Find the next company who can grow to 50,000 jobs and not rely on Amazon, because odds are they're probably not coming, right? So you want to be able to nurture the companies that are already here to grow to an Amazon-like status.
One list put it at maybe Chicago is number 5, another said next to last or something.
You could probably count 100 power ranked lists, right? And find Chicago in any metric of that you want. There's certainly benefits, and Amazon would do a lot worse, right, than a city like Chicago. But I don't know that Chicago should be banking on the fact that they could come here.
All right, let's talk about Rob Crowder here for a second. Rob Crowder was the guy who wanted to put booze in your ski poles, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and what's he up to now?
Yeah, so Rob Crowder, kind of a serial inventor around town, actually spent several years at Outcome Health. We've talked obviously a lot about Outcome Health. He worked in kind of the product division over there as they sort of just kind of dwindled down that sector of the business and his team there. He decided to kind of go all in on sort of his inventions. And like you said, he worked on a company called Whiskey Poles, which is basically a ski
pole. I love it.
I know, I do too. It kind of went viral, caught the Kickstarter wave, and it was on a bunch of different
sites. So you'd be skiing down the mountain, and when you get down, you could unscrew your pole and take a shot out of your ski pole.
That's right.
Is it up and running?
So yeah, they are. That business is still up and running. They're still that was a Kickstarter, I believe, last year, and yeah, that business is still going. So he's now out with a new product, totally different than Whiskey Poles. This is called the Piranha Plug. Basically, it is a better phone charger, and better in the sense that it connects to your wall outlet, and so you doesn't pull out accidentally from the
so
wall.
So the USB doesn't come out, or also there's it's
right.
two ends, right?
So it's got two locks
to your phone too.
Yeah. So basically, what it does is it connects into the outlet plate, so it screws in. So you unscrew your outlet plate, plug it in, and then it won't come out of the outlet. And it has another locking technology that locks the USB cord. So it's basically two locking devices.
And is it available? Or
it's on Kickstarter right now.
Okay.
So they're trying to raise about $20,000. The campaign goes on for another couple weeks, I believe. And I think they're about a fifth of the way there.
All right, that's Jim Dahlke. We're going to come back and talk about it. I want to talk again about popular pays. We approached it last week a bit, but a little bit more today. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Jim Dahlke is in the studio from Chicago Inno. You get the Chicago Inno Minute every morning on the opening bell at 5:40. Oh, I had the wrong button there. 525.
I
was so close. I had it in the fives. I had it. Oh, okay. 525 with Steve Grzanich. So check out that. And also tell us about your newsletter.
Yeah. The Chicago NO, the Beat newsletter goes out every afternoon. You can sign up for that, which is at our website, chicagono.com. It's basically kind of the conversation we're having here right now, Steve, but every day in your inbox.
Okay. So we've got a lot to talk about, but I do want to play a real or fake.
Yeah.
But let's start with this company, Popular Pays, and I talked with it about it with Andrea, I think, last Friday. It's a company that sets up businesses with social media influencers. Is that correct?
That's right. So you're seeing digital advertising is taking off, right? But it's not all going to banner ads. It's not all going to Facebook and Google, right? They're taking up a lot of it. You're seeing a lot of advertising spent in this sort of influencer category.
You know, you wrote this story, and I was surprised. I don't know why I was surprised, but digital advertising is outpacing TV advertising by $40 billion this year.
That's right. And a lot of that does go to the Googles and the Facebooks of the world.
Sure,
but
sure.
There's this whole other category of influencer marketing. And it's really interesting the way brands are kind of connecting with these folks online who have massive social media followings, right? Whether it's Kim Kardashian or a YouTube gaming star, and it's sort of everywhere in between, right? So what Popular Pays does is connects these brands with the social media influencers to kind of hawk whatever product they're trying to sell.
Where do they make their money?
So they make their money with their licensing platform. So one interesting thing that they're doing now is licensing this to ad agencies. So their agencies are being able to very easily connect their clients with social stars. So they're able to sell kind of a software as a service platform to these ad agencies.
So I could go to Popular Pays and say, hey, I want to be an endorser.
Exactly.
And sign me up.
Yeah, and what the brands are able to do is they're able to create basically their idea of a brief or a commercial. And so they say, we want to find an Instagram influencer with 1 million followers who can wear Bose headphones. And
right.
So what they're able to do is influencers are able to apply for the brief, right? And they're able to talk with the brand in-app and basically come to an agreement that says, here's what we'll pay you, here's what we want you to do, and take a picture wearing the headphones.
Coming up in October is the second, Trans Tech Summit here in Chicago. And this is to hook up trans people with workplaces, or what exactly is the goal here?
Yeah, this summit is really playing an interesting role kind of within the diversity in tech space, right? So what they're really focusing on is helping transgender people find roles in tech. So the summit is going to be taking place here in Chicago, actually at Groupon's office on October 20th. So they just open up registration now. So what's really interesting about this is like they're focusing really kind of in a niche specific space here, and really helping trans folks network with other people, find roles within the Chicago tech community, and also helping the tech companies better recruit and better be more inclusive.
Is this a big
trans
deal?
Workers.
Is this a big influencer?
I think so, right? Because I think you're looking at a lot of issues with tech companies in terms of not being a very inclusive workplace environment, whether it's for women, whether it's for minorities, whether it's for the LGBT community. We're seeing a piece of that here right now. So what I think is great about this is that Chicago is kind of ground zero for this very important tech summit. And hopefully, you know, this will allow Chicago's tech companies to be a little more inclusive.
All right. Every once in a while, Jim Dahlke brings in a scenario when we talk about tech companies all the time, and sometimes they're a little outrageous, so he likes to play real or fake.
Yeah.
He's going to describe a company for me. And, well, I'm almost flawless on this.
Yeah, you've gotten pretty good.
I've stumbled a few times recently. And I will tell you whether it's a real business or a fake business.
Okay, let's start with this one. This one is called Die With Me.
Okay.
Die With Me. This is a chat app that connects you to other people randomly. The connection is you both have less than 5% battery on your cell phone. So if you have less than 5% battery, I have less than 5% battery, the app will connect us and we can chat through the less 5% remaining hours of our phone life.
In other words, we're going to hook up quickly.
We're going down. What you got, Steve?
I'm going to say that is fake.
Die With Me is a real app.
Oh, no. Come on.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're running out of juice and you just find someone to talk with real quick.
That's right. Hey, we got 2 minutes. Yeah. It's an app basically pretty jokey, but it's a real business.
All right. Give me another. We got time for one more.
All right. Let's do one more. How about this one? This is called I Don't Like Work. This is a generator, a platform that gives you generated examples or excuses for why you should be working from home that day. So you hit generate and it gives you something like... I'm here for furniture delivery. Can't work at the office today. Got to work from home. So I don't like work.
That's a real one.
That is a real app.
Oh, fine.
Yep.
Okay. So 50-50. It could be better. Jim Dahlke, read more at ChicagoInno.com. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
It's 12:37 here on 720 WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. In the studio now is Barry Sterner, owner of Townstone Financial. We're going to take a look at the housing market. Barry comes by. Well, has it been a year?
No, I think it's about 6 or 8 months.
Okay, yeah, I didn't think it had been a year. All right, well, welcome back anyway. Nice.
Thanks for having me.
Things have changed. The view is a little different from the last time you were here.
It's a great view.
All right, so where are we in the housing market? How are things going right now?
You know, the housing market per se, you know, a lot of people have been discouraged. And what I wanted to tell anyone who's been looking the last year or so, and you went out there and your real estate professional said, hey, the house is listed at $200,000, you better bid $201,000. It's kind of discouraging. You know, everybody was trying to outbid each other.
Right.
And I think, and I have not heard this from a lot of people, but from what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, it's opening up. There were quite a few houses this particular weekend. If anybody was out and about this weekend, they would have seen a lot of open houses. I think if you were discouraged, go back out there again. The shoe is kind of coming off the foot of the seller right now, who really had a lot of leverage over the buyers, and I think that there's been more houses put on the market.
There hadn't been a lot on the market, right? That was kind of what it was
trying to price up. There has not been a lot. We've talked about that for almost 2 years. I know that sounds odd, but for almost 2 years, and there is more product coming out on the market. Go put out an offer. Your offer doesn't have to be over the sales price. Get comfortable.
Is this, I guess it's a chicken or egg thing, right? If the buyers were the eggs, we've tried that one, and it didn't work so well. We need more chickens to put their houses up.
I mean, we've talked about this for
that was the most tortured analogy I think I'll have ever come up with. hope it never gets any worse than that.
But the real question is, and no one's answered this question, and I know you've had some people on the show the last week or so talking about prices and prices in Seattle, prices across the country and prices in Illinois. You know, the people that I've talked to since 2008 now, 10 years, we're very, very near those high prices that we got to 2007 and 8. Yeah, there's some areas out north that haven't hit that area, but we're kind of back to that number, sort of like when you buy a stock. You bought a stock at 15, it went down to 7, you didn't sell it, and it's back to 15. I really think, and I talked about this when we were in before, we're seeing some of these people bring their houses back onto the market. You're going to see that continuing, I think, through the fall. And the bidding war that's happened, it can't continue. It's impossible.
It was tough to get a mortgage for a long, long time. It's easier now, right? Are things getting even looser?
Absolutely. There's something called non-QM. And non-QM is opening up the box for the people that could not get loans. So if you're sitting out there today and saying, God, I couldn't get a loan, I was self-employed. We have a new 12-month bank statement program, which is going on your cash flow from your bank statement. So if you don't show a lot from your tax returns, you can get in. If you've had some bad things happen to you, you've had a deed in lieu, you've had a short sale, you've had a bankruptcy, 1 year now you can come in and buy a house with this new with these programs.
What did it used to be? What was the time?
Used to be FHA, FHA used to be 3 years, conventional with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They've changed it many, many times, but it had never been so quickly that you could get back into a house.
So, so let me be the pessimist then. Is it becoming a little too easy?
I think we are so far, if you want to say it, to the right or the left, whichever side you believe we whichever side you were, believe you were on, we were so far off and we had squashed the credit box and made it so narrow that we've knocked out so many qualified people that a little bit, and I'm not saying go back to 2008,
right,
but a little bit of common sense for the people out there who've been turned down now, I think you're going to get a, you have a much better chance in 2018 than you did even in January of 2017. The last 8 months have seen a lot of changes, even by Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae.
Sorry, so your advice to people then is to give it a second look. Maybe it's time to move up a little bit.
Absolutely. And if you're out there looking for a house, definitely give us a call at 312-896-2110. Happy to give you a pre-qual, check your credit, things of that nature.
Where do you think we'll be a year from now?
You know, I just don't think we can sustain the appreciation levels that we've had throughout the country. I know Chicago is not appreciated at the level, but housing sustainability, the value of a house versus how much everyone's making has gotten to a point where, you know, a lot of people, it's become unaffordable.
Right.
Let's face the facts. You talk about it all the time.
Houses are going up much faster than wages are going up.
Absolutely. And it can't continue. One has to stop or one has to go up. And I think that the housing prices right now probably have hit a plateau. I guess is my prediction, and I think we're going to flatten out. I don't think we're going down 20 or 30% unless something crazy happens, you know, with the lira or,
right,
and Turkey or with the trade wars. We could have something like that, but we'll flatten out.
All right, give me 30 seconds or a minute here about reverse mortgages, because I hear so much about that, and why would that be interesting to me?
I think reverse mortgage for the right person is a great product. I had someone call me. I was taking the train over here. Why is it a great product? Because if you want to live in that house, like she wants to live in that house till she dies, she doesn't really have any family to leave the house to. She doesn't want to make that mortgage payment. She's on a fixed income right now, and she has a lot of equity in her house right now, and she has no other way to get it out. I can't do a cash out refinance because she's on a fixed income. She doesn't make enough money. It's just a great product. It gives certain people the ability to sleep at night and not worry about where they're living.
So you take the money out of your house now, and then when you die, it goes to the bank.
It goes to the bank, but your heirs can buy the house back and pay that money back. It doesn't automatically go to the bank that owns the house. It's a, by the way, it's an FHA product. It's a Federal Housing Administration product.
So if you have no heirs, it makes perfect sense. If you don't want to give your heirs the money, right, and some don't, you know, some of their kids might be doing fine. It makes sense for you to do it in that way too.
And some of the kids may be happy that they don't have to worry about their parents anymore about living in that house, because that's one of the goals that they have. They don't want to die in a retirement home or anything like that. They want to die in the house that they've been in for the last 20 or 30 years.
That's Barry Sterner, the owner of Townstone Financial. How do people find more information from you?
You can go to townstone.com. That's TOWNSTONE.com, or give me a call at 312-896-2110.
All right, see you at the open house.
Absolutely.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. When one door closes, another one opens. Tronc, the parent company of the Chicago Tribune newspaper, is rumored to be in a preliminary stage for a buyout, again, by a private investment firm this time called Dunrail Group. And the man backing up the potential buyout is very familiar with the strategy, since he was involved in the multi-million-dollar sale of the LA Times and San Diego Union-Tribune, both formerly part of Tronc. They're working towards a bid of $19 to $20 per share, which comes out to roughly $700 million. That's some big business, but maybe not as big of a business as saving the world one plastic straw at a time. We've been hearing about state after state deciding to slowly ban the use of plastic straws by restaurants and stores, forcing an alternative option. A huge opportunity for the only paper straw manufacturer in the United States, located in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Aardvark Straws. And because of that opportunity, Oshkosh-based disposable tableware manufacturer Hoffmeister Group, Inc. bought them out a couple weeks ago. Feels pretty good to be in demand. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Thanks very much, Orion Samuelson. It's 12:53, and this is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Thanks very much for tuning in. Oh, one thing I want to say. I've been talking from time to time. We're going to put together the first trip of next year will be a WGN trip to Switzerland. And I expect to have the plans in my grubby little hands by the end of the day today. I don't know. It's going to be kind of a week in the Alps. I'm really excited about it. So I hope to have information for all of you coming up soon. You can send me an email, steve@stevebertrandtravel.com, and I'll be you'll be among the first to get the details. But we should have it coming up pretty soon, maybe this week. I mean, maybe today, but certainly probably this week. All right, enough of that. In the studio is Randy Schaefer, who is a digital editor at the Chicago Tribune. Welcome back, Randy.
Hey, Steve.
You look a little green. What were you doing this weekend?
I rode every single roller coaster that Cedar Point has to offer.
Is that something that is a thing for you?
Yes, I love roller coasters.
Really? No kidding.
More than I love foraging for food in the woods.
Oh, my gosh. So there's this story about, what's her name, Jonna Holmgren. And we talk about these influencers a lot, right? She's got a big, what does she have, a big Instagram following or things like that?
Yeah, her Instagram is Fox Meets Bear, and she's kind of a forager, like a wilderness fiend. And so she recently wrote this cookbook called Tales from a Forager's Kitchen.
Rodale published it.
Which yes, is Rodale published
it. Nice little publisher.
And it is the ultimate field guide to evoke curiosity and wonderment.
So this is a case of someone who's got a popular online presence, and then it goes to sort of the hardscape, a brick-and-mortar book in a way.
Right, exactly.
And then they found out that some of the stuff that she was writing about...
Yeah, come to find out, you probably shouldn't use a book to tell people to forage for possibly poisonous mushrooms out in the woods.
And that was what was happening?
Yeah, so this book ended up getting a bunch of one-star reviews on Amazon before Amazon pulled it, and now the publisher is reviewing the book, but... This book said, you know, you can go find foraged morel mushrooms, raw elderberries, acorns, and I know Michigan was quoted in there, the state of Michigan, as saying, like, this is probably not good to do.
Right. There was one recipe to dip a morel, I think, in chocolate and
which
eat it that way.
Which sounds gross to start with.
Said you're supposed to really cook those first. And
yeah, and same with acorns. You need to soak them.
Okay, so this is a little discouraging for me because I know online is the wild, wild west, but when it gets to the publishing industry, I thought Rodale would check this stuff out.
Right, exactly. And so that's kind of, I thought that was kind of interesting, and especially since Amazon was quick to pull it, but Rodale is still, what was it, quotes, investigating something along those lines.
All right, so be very careful about not only what you read online, but apparently those people online, once they put things in books, it could be trouble.
And once you start picking your food out of the ground in the woods, you know, be careful.
Yeah, make sure you know what you're doing there. Facebook, always trying to reassure us that what we read is safe and not coming from the Ruskies. And they have a new way of doing that now?
Yeah, so this story that The Verge wrote, Shoshana Woldlinski said that Facebook is going to start a new program that will verify pages that have very large followings. It's going to start verifying where those pages are posting from. So if your page is posting from Russia, people are going to know.
So, I mean, it might say something like Midwestern Lovers of Liberty, but it comes from Irkutsk. That would be a pretty good sign.
Yes, that would be a sign.
One more than Open Book. We always talk about the social media platforms that might replace Facebook or Instagram, things like that. This fellow at Open Book has big plans. I don't know if he's going to succeed.
Yeah, Joel Hernandez, and this is a TechCrunch piece that I sent you. He's got the next big plan to knock down Facebook. Will it succeed? Probably not, but he's trying.
I read the story, and there was a lot about how he wants to, but there wasn't a lot about what it's going to look like. Do we know what it's going to look like yet?
Not really. He brainstormed. He came up with a Kickstarter campaign and a prototype, and he said he really wanted to emphasize privacy protection, but there wasn't too much more on that, and there's only a few days left in the Kickstarter, and so far
and he's not doing great,
not
right?
doing so great.
All right, so maybe not this one.
Yeah, going to be kind of hard to dethrone Facebook.
But there will be one day.
One day, maybe.
Randy Schaefer, digital editor at the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for coming by.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And keep your feet on the ground, okay? Just for a week or two.
Will do.